G'day and welcome to a US of Ed special on the passing and legacy of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ed Blankley is a former Washington insider, an internationally recognised leader in urban development and planning, advisor, author, and one of the two hosts on this podcast. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. We are joined this week by Dana Rawls and Stephanie Zuniga-Maher. Dana Rawls is a researcher, writer, and editor with 20 years of media and communications experience. A global citizen, she has worked in several countries and has a passionate interest in technology, media, and human rights, and how they work together to contribute to humanity's social and economic development. Stephanie Zuniga-Maher is a native of Washington, D.C., with a lifelong interest in politics. She was nearly born in the White House during the Carter administration and volunteered on the Clinton campaign in high school. She holds a BA in political science from Duke University and a master's degree from the University of Sydney. She currently resides in Sydney, Australia, and works in the talent, people, and culture industry. She remains politically active as the Democrats Abroad Australia Global Black Caucus Chair. Ed, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, Advocate, Icon, where do you begin?
Yes, where do you begin? You know, we've run out of heroes today. Maybe this is the last one. Mother Teresa's gone. All the people we looked up to are gone. There isn't a great leader nationally anywhere or internationally. And here's a woman who represents everything that's good about the world. She was born from a poor immigrant family. It would matter where England, Australia, wherever, that's starting on the wrong foot. But in a place where you have an opportunity, she thrived. Her sister died when she was very young. Her mother died before she got out of high school. She worked her way through Cornell University, started at Harvard, but saw she was on the wrong path there for law school and moved to Columbia, where she was one of the few women in the class. And she didn't get this white shoe job that you get now. She couldn't be the Jew in the window. So she had to go to work for the civil rights organizations, the American Civil Liberties Union, which is still a very big organization. But you can believe she didn't start at the front desk. She worked her way up. She got a chance to brief the Supreme Court, did such a great job. She came to everyone's attention. Carter first appointed her to court. And then Clinton saw this genius. She was a natural replacement for Thurgood Marshall, a pioneer in women's rights, a pioneer in civil rights, and she got on the court. And what does she do on the court? One of her first opinions leads to women's equality in the United States. Now, from there on, everybody knows the story. And her death is being mourned by people around the world, not just because of her personal death, but as a symbol of where democracies are growing around the world. When you lose icons like this, you don't have a place to turn. And believe it or not, many Republicans in the United States say that the next president should fill her vacancy because that was her last wish. 65% of the people say that because of her and what she represents. So that's what we've lost.
You mentioned, of course, the cases that she's seen through on the Supreme Court and the way in recent years she has become an icon, an idol, a symbol to a great deal of people. What part of her legacy do you think is going to be sort of most strongly remembered going forward?
Well, I think because of the current civil unrest, her steady hand on issues of social justice, civil justice, in her pioneering ways. But another thing that's going to be missed, she was Judge Scalia's best friend. So she could see laterally and bring people along, bring them together. So what we miss is another person in America that wants to bring us together.
Dana, with Donald Trump now almost certain to name Ginsburg's successor, what are the key issues likely to come before the court that will be at stake?
Well, I definitely think that Roe v. Wade, which is the right to abortion, will become imperiled with a more conservative third member added on, which is what Trump and Mitch McConnell are trying desperately to do. I also honestly believe that voting rights could be at stake, and of course, the Affordable Care Act. These are really important issues to large swaths of Americans, and I think that all of these issues will be in jeopardy underneath if there is another conservative added to the court right now.
Are the accusations of hypocrisy, comparing their insistence on delaying the appointment of Anthony Scalia's replacement in 2016 to their rush now, doing anything to deter Republican voters from this situation?
I honestly don't believe so. I believe that Trump has solidified his grip on the Republican Party so resolutely and so completely that whatever he wants to happen will happen. And there's no question. I'm so glad that you didn't even ask if the Republican hypocrisy actually was a thing, because we all know that it is very much an issue. They have been blatantly hypocritical. And of course, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell are the two that come immediately to mind, but there have been so many others. But I think at this point that what Trump wants, Trump will get, and he will just drag the Republican Party along until they go along with whatever it is that he wants to do.
Stephanie, while this has very suddenly become a key issue in the 2020 campaign, if the nomination is done and dusted by the end of October, how do you feel it might affect the races for the Senate?
Look, well, the good news is that early voting, because of the pandemic and because of so many other reasons, people are already voting. Voting has already started in almost every jurisdiction, whether it's by mail or in person. So I think that even though the Supreme Court nomination will be done and dusted, there's still so many other issues that people are voting on in this election. And for those senators, the Republican senators especially, who really are in toss-up seats, I believe they're nine or so really close elections, you know, a lot of that, people might be motivated to go vote, but I definitely think that, you know, voting will still matter up until the day of the election.
I imagine a lot of Americans who would just as soon not see Trump select the new Supreme Court justice are feeling fairly helpless. Is there anything they can actually do?
Look, I think it is about notifying your senator if they are in a close election. Even if they're not in a close election, make your voice heard. Contact your senator. Contact Lindsey Graham. Contact the Georgian senator if you have ties to Georgia or North Carolina or Colorado or Maine or any number of these other close Senate elections, and voice your opinion. Let your voice be heard to say, look, we don't support this nomination. We don't support approving this nomination before the election. Even though it might not make a big difference, your voice is critical at this time.
Let me add something here. Send them a telegram, not an email, because every telegram that goes into a congressional office is counted. That's why I tell people, don't do a petition, because that's one piece of paper. Send in 10,000 letters. And we've gotten lazy now. The other thing you can do is volunteer in the local campaign. If you're not in school, if you're not in a job, now's the time.
Absolutely. And Stephanie's point about getting in touch with your congressperson, with your governor, with your with your senator, with your everyone is so critically important. I mean, we are feeling helpless. And I think that that's why you've got Democrats across the country, across the world are enraged right now. And everything is on the table. Everything from, well, when Democrats become, when we get the power, when if we take the White House, then we're going to expand the Supreme Court. All of these issues are in play because there is so much anger right now. So if that includes doing a telegram, as Ed said, which is a fantastic idea, but even just a phone call, whatever you can do to let these people in Congress and in the halls of power know that the citizenry is enraged, that is a phenomenal first step to take.
Do a vigil and not a riot.
Absolutely.
A few candles, Ruth would respect. But a riot is not the thing to do now. Particularly with Breonna's decision.
Exactly.
There's a big temptation.
And just finally, Stephanie, you are coming to us from Democrats Abroad, the official Democratic Party arm for the millions of Americans living outside the United States. How can American voters overseas vote and make sure friends and relatives vote?
Well, the first thing is for Americans living overseas who would like to vote in this election, make sure that you're registered, make sure that you've requested your ballot. Go to votefromabroad.org and make sure that you do what you need to do, whether it's requesting, mailing it back, faxing it back, emailing it back to get your vote and your ballot into your local board of elections. After that, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your cousins, tell your aunties, tell your uncles, tell anyone who will listen in your American network back in the States that their vote is critical. They need to request their ballot. They need to make a plan to vote. Whether it's on the day in person, whether it's by mail, whether it's dropping off their ballot at their local board of elections, make sure that every single American that you know, whether they're in the US or outside of the US, has their voting plan, knows how to vote, where to vote, and who to vote for. So there's so many organizations, if you just do a simple Google search, that will tell you about the candidates that you should vote for who align with your views and your values. So there are lists of candidates who support things like the ERA, which is up for debate at the moment and up for voting in the near future. There's so many issues that we need to make sure that we have the right people in the right places to decide on, that please do your research, make your plan, vote, tell your friends, bring your family, do what you need to do to make sure that everyone...
Even your mother-in-law.
That's right.
I hope you are listening to that, Ed, given you are living in Sydney these days.
Yeah, yeah. what I said before, young people are feeling helpless because they're not in school. But that gives them a chance to join the ground game and go out in the neighborhood, knock on some doors, leave some leaflets. It may not be safe to talk to people, but you can hand them a piece of paper.
Put on a mask when you do it.
or a mask with Biden on, Biden-Harris mask.
Get out there and vote. Dana, Stephanie, thank you very much for joining Ed and myself this week.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Ed and I will have one of our regular chats coming out later this week and another special on the big issues in this election campaign, why the Senate race is so important, coming out with Dana and Stephanie from Democrats Abroad next week. Subscribe to keep up right up until the November election and beyond, and check us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.